You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Okay, so what's really important for the government to be able to measure any of the achievements that it has set in its targets in the Child Poverty Reduction Act, what's really important for them is to be able to see where things are at currently. So they've actually got those baselines to measure any progress against. So at the moment, the way the data is collected can tend to be a little bit unreliable, mainly because it comes out of the household economic survey, and the household economic survey is normally quite a small sample relatively compared to the population. So it's around about 3,500 people. So now going forward, they plan to do new household economic surveys on a bigger sample pool of around about 20,000 people. So that will be as of next year. But because they haven't done that this time around, and they need to set those baselines, and because the last couple of years of household economic survey data has been unreliable, they've needed to have a look not only at the household economic survey, but also at some of the other administrative data that they can, that's captured more frequently, so that they can actually get a more realistic snapshot of what poverty actually looks like in New Zealand more generally.
Thank you for that. And in terms of bringing up a point about reliable data, and obviously these targets, lots of them were set last year, do you think that this should have been done before the targets were set to actually know what to have that baseline research beforehand in making these targets?
Well, the Child Poverty Monitor, which is reported on every year, actually uses the Household Economic Survey, and in previous years it has been reliable enough to be able to give some pretty solid data, and it hasn't really changed the data that the new baseline data gives us. Those markers are actually pretty close to what the Child Poverty Monitor has come up with, but in the last Household Income Survey, the Child Poverty Monitor wasn't able to give accurate child poverty data, so they focused largely on housing needs and food poverty. So we were able to get a sort of better look at deprivation. So the Household Economic Survey did give us some information on deprivation, and in previous years it has been able to give us a good overview of what the numbers of children living in poverty are. With the last couple of surveys, it has been noted by the MSD that the sample size was limited due to the number of families, due to the number of sole parents, and also due to another range, other demographic areas, which they, that the data was actually limited in producing.
Thank you for clarifying that. And in terms of using the data, and I saw the statistics that 183,000 children live under the poverty line. Do you think from the new data we're underestimating the problem as well, or it is a bit of representation of New Zealand?
Because it uses the Household Economic Survey, which is based on largely families with a fixed address, that there could be, the problem could be bigger because of the hidden homeless. So the people who are transient within, their communities where they don't necessarily have a fixed address for a long time. So they have insecure housing situations. Their needs may not actually have come up in that survey.
How do you define what is the line between, poor and not poor for these poverty statistics?
The international measure normally uses the 60% after housing costs measure, but so 50% of the equivalised median household income after housing costs takes into consideration that median, so 50% of that, not the median, is actually a very low income. And then if you take into consideration the huge impact that housing costs have on that income afterwards, then that actually shows what the proportion of household income, disposable household income, that family, that household has. So using those measures, that they are a good indication of what poverty looks like in New Zealand.
Do you think it is realistic to reach the targets, let's say, from moving from 16 to 5% of children in low-income households?
They are big targets, and they are achievable, but they will have to make some really, really significant changes in order to achieve those.
And speaking of significant changes and urgent response, where do we go from here using this research? What is the next steps forward?
Well, the next step forward, I suppose, is we are waiting to hear back on the Welfare Expert Advisory Group on what their recommendations for changing the welfare system is. So there have been a number of a number of changes already that this government has put into place. So there have been some income measures with the families package that was instated last year. There was accommodation supplement increases, and those won't have come up, so the impacts of those won't have come up in this latest data. There's also this sort of broad, more general look at the welfare system that the expert advisory group are doing. So we're waiting to hear back on their report on what their recommendations are, and we are hoping that the government will take into consideration those recommendations and the necessity for adopting the changes quite urgently rather than waiting for the next round of reporting. So we would ideally like to see benefits increase significantly, because children living in beneficiary households where their main source of income is from a welfare benefit are likely to be those living in the worst of poverty. And we are concerned especially by the way there has been a lack of increases in the benefits, especially after the major changes in that system nearly 30 years ago, where benefit spending was cut significantly. So that's never really been restored, and we see sort of a lot of the poverty in those families, a welfare benefit at some points in their lives. Those are the families that are struggling the most, and we want to see those families really, really supported to be able to get back on their feet again. So we're thinking a minimum increase probably of 30% to the current levels of the welfare benefit. We're also talking about removing the discrimination from the Working for Families tax credit. So there is one particular payment that only goes to families that have a certain number of hours in paid work. And we're asking for the government to remove the paid work criteria from that payment, which would make families living at very low end of poverty around about $72.50 a week better off.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for the information. It's very clear. And one last thing, are there any other final comments you'd like to add, or anything you think I've missed that is important to share?
I think it's really important that our government is doing this and undertaking these quite significant actions towards achieving their goals. And I think it's really important that they're supported, but also that we are looking at the urgency that is needed in implementing the changes for making children's lives better.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.